When I was thinking about what to talk about, a couple of different Bible verses came into my mind. One of them is in Matthew chapter 24, and it says, it's chapter 24, verse 11. It says, "And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray, and because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold." And then related to that is, and I'm going to try and relate them somewhat anyway, Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off in myths." Now, back in 1926, an author by the name of Sinclair Lewis wrote a book called Elmer Gantry. The protagonist was an unscrupulous preacher by the name of Reverend Dr. Elmer Gantry. If you've read the book, he prefers easy money, booze, and enticing young girls over saving souls, all the while converting a traveling tent revival crusade into a hugely profitable evangelical church and radio empire. Now, this is in the 1920s. This book was actually written in 1925 and became a bestseller in 1926. Now, at the time, preachers in the United States were outraged at this. There was a preacher at the time named Billy Sunday, who was kind of an early 20th century Billy Graham. He had all sorts of these tent revivals and things, and thousands of people would come to them and talk to him. He condemned Sinclair Lewis and the book. The book was banned in Boston. Nothing gets banned in Boston anymore. But this particular book was banned in Boston. And I think what a lot of the people who read the book missed was they thought it was an attack on religion, an attack on Christianity. But it was really a satire. And what the author really was trying to say, at that time there were a lot of traveling revivals and traveling preachers and so-called prophets and things around. And what he was trying to say was, not everything is as it seems. Even in the book, he had one character who was a truly devoted preacher. Just not this one. Just not the Reverend Gantry. And what he was trying to say is basically, not everything is the way it seems, and you should approach things with a certain amount of skepticism. Now, of course, you can't go to law school and be a lawyer without either having a healthy dose of skepticism or developing one as a matter of professional self-defense. It just kind of comes with the territory when you do that. Ronald Reagan once famously said, "Trust everyone, but cut the cards." And that's kind of the way I feel about it. Unfortunately, life imitates art in a lot of ways, and certainly in this way. And I started thinking of some examples along those lines. One example you may remember from the 1970s, 80s, and 90s was a guy known as the Reverend Ike. And you all remember the Reverend Ike? Reverend Ike in the 70s, his weekly radio sermons were carried by hundreds of radio stations across the United States. He was famous for his blessing plan. If you remember his blessing plan, radio listeners would send him money, and in return, he would bless them. He said doing this would make those who did it more prosperous. His theme was, God wants to make you rich. Unfortunately, he victimized the people who could least afford it. Most of his followers were very poor. And yet he amassed a huge multi-million dollar empire off of these people. Another example that's actually still active today is a fellow known as Ernest Angley. Now, I don't know what his real name was, but, you know, Ernest Angel, it's got to be a made-up name. It's just got to be. I've actually met this guy back in the 1970s when I was in the district attorney's office in Birmingham. I was riding with some police officers from the South Precinct, and he was having some sort of revival in town, and his limo went past us, and they decided to stop him just because they wanted to meet him. So they pulled over his car and made him get out and then introduced themselves to him. And I actually got to meet him. He's a little short guy, about this high, with a really bad toupee. but he would go, and he claimed that when he was 4 years old, an angel came to him through his bedroom window and told him that he was going to be able to heal people in the name of Jesus. And he claims now that he can heal everything from deafness to AIDS. Claims to healed thousands of people. And at one time, I used to watch him when I was in college on TV. Not because I really believed a single thing the guy said, but because I was just amazed that people would look at him and listen to him and actually believe what he said. I found it rather fascinating that people were that gullible. But he would, at one time he'd sell you healing handkerchiefs. And if you would send him some money, he would send you a blessed handkerchief, and you would put it on whatever part needed healing, and it would supposedly do the business. I don't remember Jesus ever charging to heal anybody. But he would, and apparently he did quite well about it. I don't know if he's still doing that, but even recently, this man is like 92 years old now, and he is still doing this. And his church has recently been rocked with one of his assistant pastors for the past 7 years quit. Said that he'd been being inappropriately touched by the Reverend Angeli for the past 7 years, and he couldn't take it anymore. I would take that for about 0.7 seconds, but apparently he put up with it for about 7 years, said he couldn't take it anymore, and he left. When he left, others started coming forward saying that the Reverend Angeli had been telling them that they should have abortions or vasectomies, all sorts of other things that are going, and it really even gets worse than that, but I'm not going to go into that. But despite this, he still has a multi-million dollar TV empire, and he is still raking in the money. Many other televangelists, I'm sure, come to mind when you think about it, that are involved in scandal. Jim Baker, you probably remember him in the 700 Club, and his group came unraveled when he had an affair. He and another man had an affair with a woman. Likewise, Jimmy Swaggart, you remember? Jimmy Swaggart was caught. He had a television empire, was caught with a prostitute, came on TV, tearfully apologized and asked for forgiveness of his flock, and then got caught a second time. And I thought that I had heard the last of him, and I turned on the TV last week, and a commercial came on, and there he was. He's still in business. People are still sending him money, and he's supposedly preaching in the name of God. And of course, who can forget Oral Roberts? Oral Roberts, the one who tearfully went up into his tower one time, locked himself in, and said that if his parishioners or his followers didn't send him $8 million by a certain date, Jesus was going to call him home. Of course, his followers ponied up $8 million. I frankly think it would have been more effective if Jesus had called him home. But he got the $8 million that he called for. Now, of course, what does all this have to do with 2 Timothy 4? It's simple. These people got rich by telling other people what they wanted to hear. Regardless of whether it was true, regardless of whether it had any basis in the Bible. And unfortunately, people are often lazy. They're more than willing to sit back and let other people tell them what the Bible says rather than to find out for themselves without questioning it and without checking to see if what they're being told is really true. It's really kind of frightening to think of how many people have probably been led to hell from the pulpits of people like these, like the ones I've just mentioned. And unfortunately, those who are fed the lie often repeat the lie. They tell others, and it just multiplies, and it gets worse, and no one seems to question the truthfulness of what they're being told. And worse yet, I think, those who know the truth often aren't preaching it because they don't want to offend anybody. Thus, laziness, fear, and itching ears all contribute to this. Now remember, Paul instructed Timothy, preach the word, be ready in season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. You can't do this without reading and studying the Bible. Well, at least you can't do it correctly, because if you just simply repeat from somebody else tells you, you have no idea whether it's true or not. To do this, you have to study the Bible yourself with a desire to know the truth, even if the truth is not very pleasant. Fact of the matter is, I've been sitting in here before when Brother Greg anyone has given us a sermon, and there have been occasions when I have listened to what's being said, and I thought, oh, that strikes kind of close to home. And I have to kind of think of myself and think, you know, I really need to listen to what's being said. Sometimes it's not very pleasant, and you have to be willing to change and have to admit you're wrong if you are. More importantly, though, if you believe the truth, you have to be willing to stand up for it, even if others are going to ridicule you. Gay marriage is one of those things that I think is a good example of that nowadays. I have been shocked that it has come to this in this country. there are, I think I heard a poll where somewhere in the neighborhood of 65% of the young people in this country from the, between the ages of 18 and 35 believe gay marriage is okay, that it's all right for there to be gay marriage. Well, if you're in that age group, it's going to be pretty tough to stand up for what you believe is right without being ridiculed, without being called a bigot, without being called names and accused of things that, and it's just easier just to keep your mouth shut and just not to talk than it is to say what you believe in. And that's just exactly what Satan wants you to do. Be quiet. Keep your mouth shut and not say anything. And itching ears have bought us these so-called churches that condone and even ordain homosexuals. I just read in today's paper that the Presbyterian Church of North Alabama has just voted to allow their preachers to perform gay marriages. This makes a farce out of the words of the Bible, in my opinion. And those who do so think they're being so godly when in fact they're simply tools of Satan. They will be judged, and so will we, on how we stood. In 2 Timothy, Paul warns Timothy about future apostasy, in which the lusts of the people would drive them from apostolic teaching. We're seeing that in great number today, along with all manner of other attacks on the Christian faithful, more than I have ever seen in my entire life. It is now, instead of being a country where we have freedom of religion, people want to convert it into a country where there's freedom from religion. And that's a sad thing to see happen. The best way I know not to fall for this is to know your Bible and don't believe everything you hear just because somebody tells you it who seems to know what he or she is talking about and they tell you that it's so. If there's a moral to the short talk I have here today, it's to read, study, and question. Ask questions, pray, and listen for the voice of God through the Scriptures. Don't let your love of God grow cold, and don't be afraid to stand up for what's right.